Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Tuesday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Brandon Deutsch. Brandon, how are you doing?
Doing great. Been a great day. Great start. To raining a lot in LA, Arash, over the past few months. Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. We're so used to good weather in our region. Again, we're on in Southern California, Vegas, Hawaii, normally very good weather. But, you know, listen, sometimes we got to deal with the rain, and that's okay. Brandon, for the first time in a while, and I think I'm not the only one. I mean, I was watching the WNBA draft, the WNBA draft, the entire first round. And not only did I watch it, like I was very intrigued by it. Because these were a lot of players that I had become familiar with during the course of this past season with the NCAA tournament. Again, Caitlin Clark going with the first overall pick to the Indiana Fever. It was also interesting because the Los Angeles Sparks had two of the top four picks. They selected a Cameron Brink from Stanford with the second pick, Rekia Jackson from Tennessee with a fourth pick. Camila Cardoso went third to Chicago. So anyways, listen, I mean, I don't know how much of the draft you got to see, but I really think this is obviously an extension of the popularity of women's college basketball. Now you become invested in these players and you start to watch the draft. And I have no doubt that you're going to start to watch these games too. So did you watch the draft and what were your thoughts on really, again, the popularity of the sport right now?
Yeah, I watched the draft. It's crazy, right? Because Caitlin Clark's jersey, and I believe it was five different sizes, sold out within an hour. So that just shows you how popular she is and how popular the game is. And at the end of the day, I think that, you know, the Sparks, they're looking for, you know, two franchise players, cornerstones. I think they got them with Brink and Jackson. So I don't know. I'm very hyped about women's basketball. And, you know, like I mentioned, once they get hated on like the men, like on Twitter or X now, but formerly known as Twitter, that means it's growing and it's good. More people are watching.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing. I think once you get invested in the women's game and you're watching, when you watch women's college basketball, again, it's the same with football. When you watch like high school football, then you're into recruiting, and then you're into college, and then you obviously are very intrigued by the draft. I mean, again, when you look at 10 pole events for the National Football League, I mean, the draft is one of their biggest events. And so, this is certainly a byproduct of the popularity of women's college basketball. Again, close to 20 million people watched the women's college basketball national championship game more than the men's national championship game, the first time that has happened. Okay, so Switching gears again, you know, we, depending on when you are tuning in, again, we are on, you know, in Southern California, Vegas, Hawaii. So we're on earlier in Hawaii. We're on later in, Southern California, Vegas. You may be, about to tune in to the Lakers, Pelicans game, or the game might be done, or again, hard to say. This is one of those unique situations where, again, locally, generally speaking, in Los Angeles, we have 7:30 p.m. Pacific time tip. Not the case here. But anyways, I think generally speaking, the Lakers are in a good spot. Obviously, listen, if they win, they advance. They're the number seven seed. Not thrilled, probably, by having to play the Denver Nuggets. But one way or the other, if your hopes are to play in the finals, to play in the conference finals, you will have to play them. And I like what you said yesterday, Brandon. If you're going to play them, you might as well play them when you're as healthy as you're going to be in a while. And, you would rather play them earlier rather than later. But if they lose, the reason they're in a good spot, that even if they lose, they would have a game Friday night, and it would be a home game for them at Crypto.com Arena against the winner of the Kings Warriors game. Your thoughts on where the Lakers are right now? Again, there was a very realistic moment there towards the end of the season where they could have been the 10 seed, where they could have been the 9 seed, and they could have been in a situation where they had to win two road games just to get into the playoffs. I like that they, you know, listen, if they beat a team that they blew out on Sunday, they advance. And then if not, again, they have a home game. So they're in a good spot right now. Your thoughts on where the Lakers are right now?
Yeah, obviously an excellent spot. They played arguably their best game of the season with the ISD semifinal and championship. Those three games all combined, two of which were against the Pelicans, right? They match up very well against them. At the end of the day, it's tough because Denver's beaten them 8 straight times.
Yeah.
You win that game against New Orleans, right? It's like, okay, you got to play Denver. Again, you're going to have to play Denver at some point. I mean, I don't know if anybody else knocks them out. Yeah. Certainly won't be New Orleans if New Orleans were to win that game against the Lakers. New Orleans might get swept, by the way. And Dallas maybe, but is Dallas even going to get past the Clippers? Like, I think so, but a lot of people are picking the Clippers. At the end of the day, there's so many different things, and the Nuggets, they lost to the Spurs recently. So, I mean, Jamal Murray's been hurt, although he'll probably look like the second coming of Christ, like he always does against the Lakers, but you know, he'll be all magically healed because everyone plays healthy against the Lakers for whatever reason, including Brandon Ingram, who came back after missing, I don't know how much time. Yeah. At the end of the day, Arash, as long as they play defense, they'll stay in games. They need D'Angelo Russell to be consistent. Gabe Vincent's been a godsend for them with Jared Vanderbilt out. And I know it's led Darvin Ham to play a lot of 3-guard lineups, which is usually problematic, but with Vincent's defense, I mean, he's making an impact. If you look at the plus minus on all those games, he's plus 27, plus 25, you know, like he's making an impact, and they literally got him to guard Jamal Murray. So, you know, while he's healthy, why don't they win that game and see if he can guard Jamal Murray? And I know you're not going to have Jared Vanderbilt probably for at least the first game of that series if they do win against New Orleans, though there was an update that he is trying to return as soon as possible. We don't know how soon that's going to be. There's not enough clarification on that. If they get Vanderbilt and Vincent, they have a decent shot against Denver. They really do.
There was a report as well, and again, hard to say when, I mean, I really look to who the reporters are. I mean, there's a handful of beat writers who are around the team on a regular basis, whether that's Jovan Bua, Dave McMiniman, Dan Wojcicki, and you go to there's a handful of people that if they report something, I have no doubt that is true. And then there's some others, and I don't want to call them out by name, who, you know, randomly give you like injury reports when they've never once reported on a injury, and we've known how that has turned out. And but anyways, that's a long-winded way of saying that there's a report out there that if the Lakers were to flame out either in the play-in tournament or in the first round, that the Lakers would effectively, you know, try to hit the reset button. I mean, and when I hear that, I mean, like the LeBron thing is always going to happen at some point. Again, there's talk obviously now of if Bronny James, and I have no doubt that he will go to the draft, is that a team out there will select Bronny James with the hope that LeBron will join them. So this isn't so much LeBron, but when I hear reset button, I'm like, are they going to trade Davis? I mean, for all the talk about Davis not being healthy, I mean, he played in 70-plus games this year, right? And so what are your thoughts on that? I mean, if you were the GM of the team, if you were Rob Pelinka, if you're talking to Jeannie Buss following a, well, let's play this out. Let's say they lose in the play-in tournament, or let's say they get, swept or lose in five to Denver in the first round. What do you do with this team?
It's a tough situation, right? First of all, I think LeBron retires a Laker. I mean, everything's out here. You with Matt Carter and Rich Paul, like everything's in Los Angeles. He's not going, if he goes anywhere, it's probably the Knicks, but yeah. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. And I don't think it matters who drafts Bronny. In fact, I think the Lakers will probably take Bronny in the second round. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's tough because they don't have the draft compensation to do a full rebuild. And they're in the middle of a situation where LeBron's pushing 40. He's going to be 40 next season. Still elite, still a top 15 player. Some would say top 10. When he's playing like this, top five, right? Like, but at the end of the day, he's getting older. You do have to prepare for the future. They have some nice young players in Reeves and Rui Hachimura and Jared Vanderbilt, but none of which are superstars, right? So they're in a weird position where you don't want to go to Chicago Bulls territory, where you're too good to miss the play-in, but too bad to ever be really good, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if you're never, this will be interesting, because if they're never going to beat Denver, if they get swept again, if they do play Denver and beat New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Then it's hard to gauge a situation, because if you're never going to beat Denver, what's the point? Just to be relevant, to have LeBron on the team and Davis and win maybe 45 games, maybe 55 if you get a better coach. I mean, that's the only thing that'll be guaranteed to happen if they lose against Denver. I mean, Ham will get fired if they get swept in the first round or if they lose in the play-in or whatever. If they don't make the finals, I think you and I both know that Darvin Ham's getting fired. Even if they make the West Finals, I think he's probably getting fired. Personally, now I don't know if that's true, but again, they need a deep playoff run for him to keep his job. I think we all kind of know that. Maybe they'll look at it and say, if we have a new coach, we get 60 wins. But is that really going to push that? Are you going to be able to beat Denver, right? Because Oklahoma City is getting better. Memphis is going to be back next year if Jaw's healthy. And Memphis is probably, Houston's going to get better with Ime Udoka. These are teams that missed the playoffs, two of those three teams, right? And you have the gauntlet of guys like Steph Curry, still Steph Curry. Sacramento's still good. There's not much variation between the top teams in 1 through 10, right? Like they're all talented. So it's hard. I think you have to keep LeBron and Davis at this point. I mean, their value is, there's no point in restarting because you don't have the draft compensation.
Yeah. I mean, when that's the issue that I have, like you're not going to trade LeBron. I mean, and at this point, the Lakers, they've always been a very smart franchise about this. When it comes to the end of a superstar's career, they always handled it well. And they got knocked at the time for giving Kobe Bryant a very big contract. But I think a lot of stars out there look at that and say, this is a franchise that takes care of their own. And by the way, it's not just their superstars. I mean, you look at guys post-career, whether it's, James Worthy or Robert Horry or like Artest or Derek Fisher, again, whether it's giving them a job to do TV, whether it's a job to coach the Sparks or the G League team, or you go down the list, they take care of their own. And so, you go back to that report around, midway of the season where like the Warriors, again, this is just a report, inquired about LeBron. I mean, the Lakers really, again, according to the report, put it in LeBron's hands. Like, do you want to get traded? And if you do want to get traded, like, we'll facilitate that. He, at the end of the day, apparently did not want to get traded. But to your point, Brandon, like I don't even know what kind of proper value you would get. You're not going to get proper value for a player who's, again, he's not at the peak of his career, clearly. When I say that, look how, he's played 20 seasons, but when he puts up the numbers that he has, on certain nights, he is playing as good as he has in his career, which is a mind-boggling statement when you talk about a guy who's been playing for 20 seasons. Same with Davis. I don't know what they could possibly get in return that would be for a player that when he's on his game and when he's healthy is one of the top 5 to 10 players, I believe, in the league. So keep those guys together. I think we're going to see what they can do in the postseason. And we saw that a year ago. Again, when those guys are healthy and playing at their best, and they got the role players around them doing what they have to do, that is a top four team in the league. But to your point, is that good enough? And a part of that is because you're the Lakers. Generally speaking, if you get to the conference finals, again, remember this. The pinnacle, the high watermark in the entire franchise history of the Los Angeles Clippers was getting a one conference finals. The Lakers did that in a season where post All-Star break, they were like, what were they, like the 13th seed or, you know, something like that. So, I mean, they stumbled into the conference finals. Do you not think, however, again, it won't be this year if they play Denver in the first round, but let's just play this out and say they avoid Denver and they don't get to play them until the conference finals and they lose again. Is that because it's the Lakers that it's not good enough? Like I think if you put yourself in that conversation, if you put yourself four wins away from an NBA finals, like, I'm not saying that that's a successful season, but I'm saying, like, did things happen, right? Like, you go to, like, that Raptors-Warriors series. The Raptors weren't the better team, but one thing leads to another. KD goes down. Klay Thompson goes down. Again, you don't want guys to get hurt, but do you not believe that it is imperative to at least keep this a competitive team?
Yeah, I mean, it is. For the culture, for the brand, right? The Lakers are the Lakers. They're the biggest brand for basketball in the world. It's not even close. It's not particularly close, right? And at the end of the day, you have to keep them relevant. And if you keep getting to play Denver, like, you'll figure it out, right? Because guys are shifting in Denver's rotation, and Jokic is so good. Maybe he wins another championship this year, which I would think they're the favorite over Boston. Personally, I would say Denver, even though they're in a tougher conference, is probably the favorite over Boston at this point. And at the end of the day, I mean, if they go on to win another championship and the Lakers, let's say, lose to them in the Western Conference Finals, of course you run it back. I mean, maybe you make slim changes, like D'Angelo Russell gone if he doesn't show up, and bring in a Trae Young or a Kyrie Irving. I know they've been talking about, I don't love the Trae Young idea. A lot of people do because of the pick and roll with Davis. But then basically post LeBron, you have Trae Young and Davis. And what does that get you? I mean, that's not going to get you anything more than the 8th seed. Let's be real with ourselves. I mean, Trae Young, great stat guy, but not an impactful to winning basketball player unless it's late in the game, because he can't play defense. Even though he's getting better, it's not his fault. There are some things he does really well. Is that the guy we're going to give, you know, the Lakers are going to give two first round picks for? Yeah. I mean, if it's at this point, I would do it for Kyrie Irving. And I wouldn't have said that a few years ago with everything that was going on off the court. But the way he's played, I think if you literally switch D'Angelo Russell and even Austin Reeves and you put Kyrie Irving on the team, maybe you can keep Austin Reeves. But if you switch those two, they beat Denver next year, even with a 40-year-old LeBron. I think that's what they have to go into. Like, how can we convince Kyrie Irving to go with one last ride with LeBron James and win another championship? I think that has to be the focus.
You saw Bronny James again, you know, this was a player, but you know, we keep forgetting, and I don't say this, but I mean, like, when you're judging a player, like what he went through, the heart attack, coming back, he did come off the bench, and he was a very good defender. But I mean, like, again, not a player that, if his last name was not James, would not be in the draft. You mentioned you think the Lakers may select him in the second round. By the way, it would do wonders for their G League team. Again, the G League team plays in the Lakers practice facility. So, like, I don't even know what capacity is. Probably less than 1,000, but like all those seats would be sold. They'd sell his jerseys. He'd get called up every now and again. I don't know how much of a regular part of the team he would be. My two cents on it is, you know, listen, my worry is that he would be like a first round pick, and he's clearly not. But I have no issue really taking a flyer with the second round pick. I mean, I don't know what the percentage of successful, you know, late second round picks is, and I don't have the Lakers picks in front of me. But again, if you're the Lakers, just to appease LeBron, would you take Bronny James with a second round pick?
Yeah, I would, if that's what he wants. I mean, I think Bronny still has a ton of upside. The problem is he's 6'2". If he was 6'6", we would be having a whole different conversation about him, because he has one of the highest basketball IQs in the draft prospect wise. And obviously, because his father has maybe the highest IQ of all time in basketball or close to it. And at the end of the day, he plays defense. Like you said, Arash, he could shoot a little bit. He just makes all the right decisions. Yeah. You know, he's one of those guys, a glue guy. Like, he reminds me of a smaller Josh Hart. Like, just, or, you know, maybe a better example is a KCP, but he still needs to learn how to get that 3-point shooting up. A championship role player. I think that's his ceiling. He's never going to be a star. He's never going to be a superstar. And that's completely fine. We shouldn't compare him to his father. And at the end of the day, if you get that in the second round, he develops for a few years, and then it, you know, carries on LeBron's legacy on the Lakers. I think it's a great story. And I think the Lakers are not just the basketball organization. It's Hollywood. You know, it's built for stories. It's built for, you know, the glitz, the glamour, entertainment. And I think at the end of the day, you can do both. You can get entertainment, and you can get a guy who can help the team win in the future in the second round.
And again, it does look like the Lakers will keep their first round pick. Again, the Pelicans have the right to select it, but the Lakers having, you know, being a playoff team this year, getting the 8th seed. If they beat the Pelicans, they'll get the 7th seed. I think the Pelicans will be smart to kick the can down the road. And again, so the Lakers will have their second round pick. It'll be a lower pick. But yeah, listen, I mean, I think just from a business standpoint, A, you know, listen, you would make LeBron happy. But beyond that, like, as a business person, when it comes to, like, you know, the impact that would have on your G League franchise, and maybe you would start playing those G League games someplace else. Again, if you could fill up, I'm not saying that they could, but listen, they filled up Galen Center against Long Beach State with Bronny James. So, I mean, like, if you could start filling up an arena for your G League team, why not? All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll get Brandon's thoughts on the upcoming National Football League draft when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 of Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline, 310-400-0340. I want to get your thoughts on this real quick before we talked about the National Football League draft. Do you believe in the basketball gods? When I was talking before the Lakers game tonight, there was like, hey, listen, like this is a playoff game. This is a win in advance game. You can't play with the basketball gods and say we're going to tank this game because we want to come back home and have a simpler path, things like that. Anyways, as a competitor, as someone who played at a high level, do you believe in that?
Absolutely. Okay. And that's why the Lakers will win that game. Okay. Depends when you're tuning in, but I do think exactly. They'll beat the Pelican. Yeah. And maybe they're already beating them. Maybe they'll lose. Maybe I'm wrong, like, depending on if you're in Hawaii, LA, or Vegas. But I fully expect them to go all out and pounce on the Pelican.
Yeah. No, I
see what's in front of
them. Yeah. Really quick, Brandon is, just gonna wait for Brandon to sit down for a second because I want to hear what he has to say. But I do think it's very important that you don't play around with this. Again, if they had a situation where if they lost, they had a home game against a team they had dominated. But listen, I would love Brandon's thoughts on this. I'm not particularly confident in the Kings. I'm not particularly confident in the Warriors. Again, do I think that they're going to, that they would win that game? Yeah. But like, listen, they got swept by the Kings and they lost the season series to the Warriors. So it's not a gimme.
Yeah, I do not want to play Stephen Curry in a one-game series. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the Lakers won, they would win a series against Golden State like last year. Yeah. But one game, that's what happens if Steph Curry gets hot. There's just too many scenarios where, and I do expect Stephen Curry to beat the Sacramento Kings. But if it's the Kings, that's arguably worse because Davis can't play against Sabonis for whatever reason. I know they don't have Malik Monk, and that's a big thing, Kevin Huerter, but that's why you're playing with fire. Play the team you just pounced on and beat by like 30 points, beat them again and go play Denver and take your chances. I mean, look, what's the difference if you play the best team, if you lose in the Western Conference Finals or the first round, if that's the team that's going to go on, you know, like at the end of the day, Phoenix probably had that conversation in their locker room too, where they took Denver six games and they were like, look, that's the best team we lost to. Were we better than the Lakers? They probably think they were. Just because they got that draw a little earlier on and did better against them than the Lakers, right? So, again, got to play who's in front of you. And I'm telling you, the basketball gods will reward them with at least a win probably against one win. Maybe it'll be five-game series against Denver this time, or six if they take care of business against the Pelicans. But if they sit Davis, sit LeBron, man, that's you're playing with fire there.
I agree with that because it just shows that they're – you know, you don't want to admit this, but like shows that they're scared. And listen, they're competitors. They're competitors. They obviously remember, you know, that they got swept a year ago, clearly in the Western Conference Finals, that they remember that they've lost eight straight times to these teams. This team, I don't think it would be a sweep. I'm just saying, like, those games a year ago were close. Like, you know, they came back. I've never seen a team more confident following a game one loss than the Lakers were a year ago. And by the way, it was not just the Lakers team, which they should be confident. It was the media. I mean, we all thought that the Lakers had figured something out there in the second half and in the fourth quarter, and this would be a different series, and they got swept. But that being said, they had the lead in the fourth quarter of those games in games 2, 3, and 4. At the end of the day, they couldn't close it out. They lost. But, yeah, listen, there's no consolation prize for losing close, but we'll see how the Lakers do tonight and where they move on in the postseason. Again, if they beat the Pelicans, their first-round series against the Denver Nuggets would begin on Saturday. The Clippers, by the way, they are slated to begin their first-round series with the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday. Big question there is the health of Kawhi Leonard. Chris Broussard reporting, although he reported it in a very unique way. Like, he said that he was talking to someone in the know. And it's like, again, Chris Broussard is no longer an NBA insider. He's more of a talk show host, talking head type. But listen, he may or may not know. He said that there is serious concern about Kawhi being available. And I don't doubt that only because he hasn't played, you know, by the time Sunday rolls around, game one, he hasn't played in for 3 weeks. That's not a load management thing. That is someone who's trying to get healthy and trying to get back, for the long haul of the postseason. Your thoughts on Kawhi, and listen, like, well, let's just play it out and say Kawhi is either not healthy or just not the playoff Kawhi that we've seen in years past. Do they have a chance to beat the Mavericks?
No. And the first thing is, even if they have a healthy Kawhi, it's basically not even a 50-50 chance. I'd still give the Mavericks 70% chance to win the series the way they're playing. At the end of the day, like, Chris Broussard, like, I'm sure he's a great guy, but I can't trust him on anything he says about Kawhi, because remember, he's like, Kawhi's 100% a Laker. And then now he's saying, oh, he's hurt. Like, he's probably healthy then. Just say the opposite, right? Like, it's probably no. In all seriousness, maybe he does know somebody in the organization. But Adrian Wojnarowski said that Kawhi's fine. Now, I don't know if the team's given him information about that, whatever. We don't know anything about that situation. But at the end of the day, it's either way. I would not be surprised, even if he is getting healthier and it's not too big of a concern, I wouldn't be surprised if he sits the first game. Wow. And plays the second game. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, oh, if the swelling in his knee is true, and they're like, okay, even if it's not true, he hasn't played in a while. Like, they've kind of been on a roll without him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they go into game one saying, maybe we can steal a game without Kawhi and see if, you know, wait for our best punch. Like, we're going to hold it back. I would not be surprised if Kawhi Leonard is out for game one.
Yeah, I mean, it just would be. I mean, he's had enough time to rest. And we don't know the full first round schedule. Again, the only thing that we do know is game one is Sunday. I would imagine, because both games one and two are in Los Angeles, that they'd be off Monday and come back Tuesday. I don't think that extra day or two is going to give him much more health. But again, I think you're right. The Clippers have been cautious with Kawhi. So if he's not good to go, I would agree with you that he's not going to play. That's when the concern sets in, Brandon. If Kawhi is not out there for game one of the postseason, the playoffs, these games count, first to four wins. Like if he's in street clothes for that game, that's when I get nervous. And so we'll see how that all plays out. All right, let's switch gears. Let's focus on the National Football League draft. Again, a big draft for our teams locally here. The biggest one really is the Chargers have the fifth pick in the draft, first draft for a new head coach, Jim Harbaugh. There's been a lot of reports. In fact, most of these mock drafts I'm seeing on TV have the Chargers trading their first pick, which is the number five pick overall. Before we get to the Chargers pick, listen, this is a fait accompli. It does seem like Caleb Williams, no doubt, is going to go to the Chicago Bears. Again, the Bears, you know, Keenan Allen, the new wide receiver that they had just traded with the Chargers to get. He was at Caleb Williams Pro Day. The Bears traded away their former starting quarterback, Justin Fields, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he is their guy. Your thoughts on that? Your thoughts, again, you've been right on Caleb Williams from the moment he stepped foot on campus at USC. Heisman Trophy winner, one of the most talented quarterbacks that they've had in program history. But your thoughts on the first round pick? And let's play out, I guess, the top four pick before we get to the Chargers with the number five pick.
Yeah, first off on Williams, I mean, it's basically like the Spurs with Wembanyama before the draft. It was all but the name being said. Like, everyone knows it's Caleb Williams. Everyone's known since they got the number one pick. I mean, they knew halfway through the season if they were going to get the number one pick, they were going to move on from Justin Fields and draft Caleb Williams. I mean, the only people that were surprised were Bears fans that really wanted Justin Fields to succeed so bad. Yeah. And they're always going to be the anti-Caleb people. But the fact of the matter is, if you watch his tape, he is, and look, I haven't been evaluating prospects for as long as other people, but based on the ones I've seen and the tape I've watched, the most NFL-ready quarterback. Like, just the way he plays and sees the field, like, football IQ, can extend plays, sees guys when there's really no windows and he creates them better than any prospect I've ever seen. I mean, Mahomes wasn't doing this in college, and he's doing what Mahomes was doing in college. I'm not saying he's going to be better than Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to have Andy Reid as his play caller. Let's call a spade a spade. Patrick Mahomes is going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but is he that great if he doesn't have Andy Reid? Probably not. And I don't want to put that, but offensive coordinators are extremely important, which is why the Bears were like, okay, we need to get Keenan Allen for Caleb Williams. We have DJ Moore. Maybe they even go Roma Dunze too in the draft, right? Because at the end of the day, having a quarterback on the rookie contract like CJ Stroud we're seeing right now and Brock Purdy is important. You want to win a Super Bowl with a quarterback on a rookie contract, and Caleb could do that for sure. So he's going one. Two, I think Commanders are throwing smoke screens. They're taking Drake May. Another great pick. I think Justin Herbert qualities. I think he's going to be a star in this league if they can get him an offensive line and some more weapons within the next few years. He's definitely has the most projectability of these prospects. Three is where it gets interesting. I actually think New England could trade out of that pick. I know a lot of people think they're going to take J.J. McCarthy or Jaden Daniels. I mean, maybe it's Jaden Daniels if the meeting goes well that they just had. No one really knows about it. They're kind of keeping it on the down low. That could be a trade scenario right there, Rosh. I think, you know, we'll see if the Raiders want to give up what it takes to move up to three, or if the Giants want to move up three spots. I mean, they basically already told Daniel Jones. Everyone knows they've told Daniel Jones, like, yeah, we don't like you at this point. You know, I hate to say it. That doesn't mean they'll draft the quarterback. They'll still play him, but they're tired of him. They made a mistake giving him that contract. For Arizona is another trade candidate, but they'll probably stay and take Marvin Harrison Jr. They really need a wide receiver. That makes sense. Tough division. Get Kyler Murray some help. Kyler Murray's still young. He can still be projectable. And then we get to five with the Chargers, right? And this is where it gets interesting because Harbaugh's a big proponent of trench play, him and Roman. The Charger fans would be furious if they stayed and took Joe Alt, who's probably going to be an all pro. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I mean, which is great. You got Slater on one side, you'll have Alt on the other side. I mean, Herbert's protected for the rest of his career with that. But then you go into the season with Quentin Johnston as your top receiver. Yeah. And no, nothing against Quentin Johnston. Come on now. He cannot be the top receiver. The trading back, yeah, possible. Maybe they trade back, get an extra second round pick and take a receiver in the second round and maybe a lineman in the first round if they trade back, depending on who trades up for JJ McCarthy. Cause Minnesota's been linked to them right there, right? Like they've been in conversations and I see like a lot of mocks have Minnesota trading up to five right now. And at the end of the day, if they keep five, they have to take a receiver, Arash. I mean, the talent is, I mean, whether it's Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers, both of those guys are going to be studs. Personally, I like Odunze the most of any receiver in the draft, even more than Harrison Jr., which is a hot take, but he probably won't be the one considered there, but maybe the Chargers are thinking if we, you know, trade a couple picks back at second rounder where we can take a lineman, maybe we get Odunze at 8 or 9, right? Depending on who trades up. So again, a lot of questions. This is not a set in stone draft. We're going to see a lot of movement at the top that we did not see last year.
I assume. Let me get your thoughts also on the Rams pick, just because they haven't selected first round since making Jared Goff the number one overall pick in the draft. I mean, that's how long ago it has been. Do you, again, by the way, there's a lot of talk. They have a big party planned in Hermosa Beach at the Hermosa Beach Pier where they're going to have a football field and all this stuff. And there's been a lot of talk that they may trade out of that pick. Your thoughts on what the Rams may do with their first round pick?
Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of know if a certain someone's available, they're going to take him. I think it's Laiatu Latu from UCLA. I know they've met with him. I think he's the best edge rusher in the draft. And the only reason why he would drop to the Rams at 19 is because he's on the older side, 23, and has an injury history, almost had to retire a few years ago. But if you look at his tape, most dominant edge rusher in the class, they shored up the secondary and free agency. So I think they'll go edge rusher. If they keep that pick, maybe it's defensive tackle, but you could always, you know, play Byron Young, Kobe Turner, switch him on the interior, whatever you want to do. And well, not Byron, but Kobe Turner, right? And then you put Laiatu Latu on the edge, you sure up the Aaron Donald spot, right? Like you can have pressure on the quarterback, which is super important, instrumental in success in the NFL. Chiefs, Niners, all of them get great pressure on the quarterback, right? Like the two teams in the Super Bowl. At the end of the day, I do think they take Latu from UCLA and he falls there. I really do.
One more from our local teams. The Las Vegas Raiders also have a fairly high pick in the first round. They have the 13th pick. A lot of holes with this team. And I don't know where you would even start. But again, if you're looking at someone in the top 13, top 15, who do you like the Las Vegas Raiders to select?
What's my favorite word, Arash?
Moxie.
Good answer. Yes, good answer. And who has Moxie? Michael Penix Jr.
Oh, I like
There is a lot of traction with Raiders and Michael Penix Jr.
Wow.
Recently. I mean, I like Gardner Minshew. I think he's a great dude, and you can probably win 8 games with him as your quarterback, but Michael Penix Jr. could be a star with Devontae Adams there. And I'm higher on Michael Penix Jr. than other people. A lot of people, a lot of scouts and evaluators talk about his injury history and whatnot. At the end of the day, the guy has moxie. I mean, he was doing a freestyle before he came back into the game to beat Oregon. Yeah, he didn't play great in the national championship, but he's deadly accurate. Great, great, great passer. Got sacked maybe, 25 times in college or 30? Something crazy, like never got sacked. I really like the pick. I think if you put Penix there, I mean, you need a good quarterback to compete in that division. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Like, two great quarterbacks already. And are the Chargers ready to compete right away? Maybe not. Like, maybe you can finish second next year if you get Michael Penix Jr., who you would give Devontae Adams and Zamir White. And I mean, I think they'd have a really good team. I think they got to strongly consider that. at 13.
Let me give you your thoughts on this. I mean, this would not be the first time that they have selected someone in the first round that was not projected to go in the first round. But with the 13th pick, you, and again, I'm sure you know this. I mean, Penix is not generally considered a first round pick.
Yeah.
Would you not try to get him in the second round? Do you think he's not going to be there when they select again?
I don't think he's going to be there. I mean, everything I've heard is he's going top 20. And then you're playing with fire if you try to move back a few picks because, you know, you got other teams that might want to move up. At the end of the day, I think quarterback is a position of value, right? And I think six quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. I even think Knicks, someone trades up to get Knicks at the end of the first round as well, who I think will be pretty good. He could go as high as we could see six quarterbacks in the top 12. There's a scenario where we could see J.J. McCarthy, like Minnesota trading up, and of course the top three, May, Caleb, and Daniels, and then we see 12, 13 back-to-back Penix and Knicks. Like we could see it all in the top 13, basically. Possible.
Speaking of prospects, the last thing that I want to get your thoughts on, switching gears to Major League Baseball. One of the young prospects that I really liked, and again, I don't claim to know young prospects, but one of the young prospects I have heard a lot about, like from what I saw, was Michael Busch. Now, Michael Busch is having a historic start to the season with the Chicago Cubs. He tied a Chicago Cubs record with homers in five consecutive games. Listen, if you're a Dodgers fan, you have nothing to complain about in terms of what this franchise pays to get the best players, whether it's Shohei Ohtani, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, you go down the list. Again, they are probably not where they thought they would be at this point in the season. It's still early, folks. But Michael Busch, man, I mean, how good can he be? And listen, no team is perfect when it comes to this stuff, but man, it looks like the Dodgers gave up a great one.
Yeah. The Cubs also got Bellinger, right? Like, I know that wasn't a trade, but they signed a former Dodger who, you know, really got back on track in his career last season. Michael Busch was always good. A lot of people called him a 4A player because he was so dominant in AAA, but didn't really have a spot in the majors. And he just needed time. He needed playing time, right? So once he was traded to the Cubs, gave him playing time. They wanted to roll with Lux, who, by the way, I don't fault them for that because Lux looked excellent before the injury. Yeah. And he could still be pretty good. He's still young. Again, it's really hard to see if you're a Dodger fan seeing guys like Yordan Alvarez, who they traded years ago, or Michael Busch, you know, now. It just goes down the list of, you know, they get everybody, but at the end of the day, there's guys they gave up that are really good. And you can go all the way back to Pedro Martinez. That's every team. I'm not saying Michael Busch is the level of Pedro Martinez, but maybe a regrettable decision on Andrew Friedman for once.
Yeah, and listen, if you have a great farm system, at some point in time, you're going to give up players that you really like in order to get guys who can help you win right now. And as good as Michael Busch has been for the Chicago Cubs, at the end of the day, if the Los Angeles Dodgers win a World Series this year, no one's going to be pining for Busch because he's playing well for the Chicago Cubs. But again, just kind of like an interesting note again, for a team as successful as the Dodgers have been, you know, kind of having that same feeling when you watch Corey Seager do what he did with the Texas Rangers, you're like, listen, as good as the Dodgers are, man, you know, it hurts to see guys who were with the team and you thought would be a big part of their future go on to have success with somebody else. All right, Brandon, you're the best. We will do it again later in the week. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.